reading in that. I have a very simple question, so I'll state it simply, and if you need clarification, then otherwise I'll leave the question as it is. What is punishment?
What is punishment? To be deprived of the living presence of Christ. To be cast out of the living presence of Christ. For us, that is our bliss and that is our punishment. We are blessed when we are in the presence of Christ because it's a life-giving presence, and we are punished when we lose it.
So do I inflict that punishment on me by grieving the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks again. I'm accounting for the greatness of your love. I have some comments. Paul says, where there is more sin, there is more grace. I hope I translated rightly.
Yeah, I remember that.
And please, may you explain this for me in our situation, or that you, what you have said about the sin and the grace. And you said too that in the evening we came back home and we pray and we are isolated from the world, and then we can come back to Christ, to ourselves. What about the daily work? Because we are all here priests, we have to deal with communities, with people. We can't flee away or go away from people. We have to discuss to understand their wills. A monk can do this. But a priest who has some people to dwell with, he must understand them, and at the same time, he needs, or he must have this grace to deal with people. Yeah. What you said is very good for people who are living in a monastery. But please understand our situation. Yes. Here, that we need from your golden mouth some advice.
I understand what you say, Father, and you are right. But it's good to know this phenomenon, because we see more clearly some principles which are always true. I mean, even if you are a priest and you have many activities with the people, if you have not had your time to stand in the presence of God, you cannot do those activities properly. If you have not prayed with contrition in the morning, forgive me for saying, not you, I mean if someone has not prayed with contrition in the morning, then the words of consolation to the people when he meets them will be clumsy in his mouth. And if he doesn't bear a little pain in his heart, he won't be able to console. And if he doesn't live in the presence of the Lord, he will not manage that every contact he has with the people will be contact with the Lord. Every contact that people have with the priest is a contact with God. Yes. So, of course, God knows that. And I mean, he will not be so severe with the priest who would work with the people. He will even give them grace and strength to do it, as he will be with the monks. I remember once a vision a monk had in the Metochion, in the dependency of the monastery of St. Pantelimon in Constantinople. There are many people came from Russia to the Holy Mountain, and they had a dependency in Constantinople where they got a bit refreshed, and some who fell ill, they had a hospital there to help them. And one night the Mother of God appeared going with St. John the Theologian, healing one sick person after another. And they come to the bed where there was a monk, ill monk. And the Mother of God says to St. John, leave him there. Go to the next. That is to say, the Mother of God healed everybody except the monk. The monk had to learn another lesson. Forgive me for saying this. Of course, I think being priests and being pastors, if we are to do our job properly, we must have our time when we are alone with God, and we leave our own personal tragedy first. And we speak to him from our own heart. Then we'll have a word of consolation for everybody whom we meet. And that is the task of the priest, to be consoling his people. to bring a word of consolation. My priests console my people, says the Lord through Isaiah the prophet. The task of the priest is to be a comforter of souls. Yes. But we cannot have a word of comfort unless we ourselves are comforted. In the beginning of the epistle, I think to the Philippians or to the choir, St. Paul says, blessed is the God of all comfort, who comforts us to be able to comfort those who come to us with the comfort by which we are comforted ourselves. He uses 9 or 11 times the word comfort and consolation. And that is not easy to be able to administer that to the people unless we have this time. I think, in a way, the priest has to have a more sublime life than the monks even. Forgive me for saying. But of course, because of his ministry, God has that in mind, and he doesn't expect him to be a hesychast, the priest who has a flock. But there is a part of his life who must be hesychastic. Everything must begin from Ezekiel. Like the Son of God was born out of the Hezekiah of the Father, says one of the apologies. Forget his name. It was one of the apologies, Syrian apologies of the second century. He says that the Son of God, the Word of God, was born out of the silence of the Father. And we see even the Lord going through Samaria to Mount Tabor. For 1 week, he was with his disciples and he uttered no word. He led them to Mount Tabor with 1 week of silence before that. And then he revealed himself. Joshua surrounded Jericho and he asked them to remain still for 7 days. And on the 7th day, he sounded the trumpet and the walls of Jericho fell. Moses asked the people to remain still for 40 days, and then he entered the cloud of the... all that. I mean, there is a pattern there for all of us. No matter if we are priests or monks, we cannot be dispensed of that. The other which you said, where sin abounded, grace has abounded, superabounded. Where sin abounded and repentance came, grace superabounded. It's not, we don't sin in order to receive grace. But if we happen to have sinned and we repent, then our sin may become a cause for a great consolation and great gift from God.
Abuna Zakaria, thank you very much for what you are teaching us today. Today and yesterday and the day before. When you mentioned about that ascetic who found himself sinful and he left his cell and did not return to it for 7 years, until 7 years. Excuse my ignorance in asking this question, please. Don't you think that monks exaggerate in punishing themselves when the grace of God is at hand? When someone asks forgiveness from God, he will have it. The thief on the cross had it immediately. Why do they exaggerate so much, punish themselves 7 years?
Yes.
Please.
I understand what you say is true. As soon as we ask forgiveness, God gives the forgiveness. But the wounds that the sin leaves to be healed, that is the big struggle that remains. Of course, when people come to confess their sins, unless it's something repeated by ill disposition, we don't ask any question. We read the prayer of absolution and we let them participate in the sacrament as long as they remain firm in their resolve. But the healing process, it takes long. the healing. And those people, they were extraordinary. We mentioned some extreme cases now. There were people who received an enormous grace from God, and the loss of that grace, it was utter devastation. We can understand this in this way as well. The angels sinned against God. Because they sinned in eternity, in such an angelic perfection, they sinned in an absolute way. And they fell in an absolute way, and there is no repentance for them. Because they sinned in eternity, and their fall was absolute. Whereas man's fall was and is relative, because it was in time. And therefore, there was room for repentance, and God did everything to restore him. But the Lord himself says that to whom much is given, much shall be required. Is that principle again there? I mean, you know, as a priest, many lay people come, confess big sins, and we cover them, we forgive them, we cover them, they are restored in communion with the church and so on. But you know, as a priest, that if a priest falls, there is nothing we can do to amend him. If a spiritual person falls, the change and the wound is so great that there's hardly anything you can do, because he should know better. He entered the Holy of Holies, which is heaven. And with the lay people, we are not afraid to receive any confession. But forgive me for this and pray for me because I'm weak. But I always tremble when I receive a priest in confession, because I'm weak. And because I know that it's very difficult to restore. That's why we must approach with trembling in order to rejoice afterwards. Forgive me.
So I'm saying that to heal that situation, as far as Maria is saying, it takes a lot of time, because they are sensitive. While us in the parishes,
as he said, that we give absolution to everyone and we restore everyone, and we, you know, like, it becomes like natural, you know, to live with sin without any pain, for example. But those sensitive people, those holy people, you know, like, to wash one sin they committed, it takes them, they live the baptism every day, if you like. They live the martyrdom every day until they feel that this sin is healed.
Thank you. Can I say something? Forgive me if I am wrong, correct me, because we are fellow priests. One way I always saw the rules of the church, the epitimia, the sentence that one receives for his sin. We never apply those by letter. But myself, for me, it was interesting to see such a sin is punished 40 days without communion. Another sin, 2 years. For me, it was an indication of the deadening of the soul that occurs by such a sin or another. By looking at the epitimia for different sins, we get an idea how much deadening brings to the soul the corresponding sin. I don't know if I'm right, or at least it gives us an idea how serious it is. And then we can struggle with the person who, you know, we can be more generous or less generous. It depends also on us, how willing we are to cooperate with the people and to stand by them with prayer and help them. We can accelerate the process of healing if we stand with attentiveness and compassion and pray for them and show concern. We can accelerate the process of healing. Otherwise, if we are just administering, have a codex there and says, well, this sin 2 years, and comes someone and says, 2 years you cannot have communion, that's all. He might say to us, well, I can stay 4 years, don't worry. It has happened, it has happened. But if we show interest and we struggle by saying a word to them and try to help them understand one thing and learn another thing, and all that will make their life more inspired, therefore the process will be accelerated, not only in physics. Time is a relative quantity. Also in spiritual life, even more, time is a relative quantity. We see in the letter of St. John, for example, that after a very terrible confession of someone who committed all sorts of kinds of sins, the abbot of that monastery, St. John describes in his letter, made him a monk straight away. Very prophetic thing.
Thank you, Father Zacharias.